Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and delighted to have you here today. We're going to talk today about one of those ongoing nemeses of probably more than half of the population of the United States, and that is how to maintain your weight, but at the same time, how to maintain your health. And I think that's one of the things that is not always focused on in the women's magazines and so forth when we talk about weight control. So we're going to talk about weight and health today, and we have a very interesting guest, Brett Salisbury, who is a longtime football player and model and sports nutritionist, a very interesting combination of skills and factors that we'll get into in just a minute. And I wanted to remind you that The Powerful Patient is brought to you each week by the VHL Family Alliance. That's von Hippel-Lindau disease. And we've been dealing with a very complex medical condition for many years and have learned a lot of skills along the way that you can't just focus on the medical part of your life. You have to focus on your whole life in order to have quality of life and true health. So that's what this program is about, to share the skills with you that we've learned along the way and help you also have a very happy life. We like to say that we're trying to make VHL stand for very happy life. So let me play you a little message, please, about VHL, and stay with us, and we'll be right back in 1 minute to talk with Brett. Thank you.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, or VHL, is a genetic condition involving abnormal growth of tumors in some parts of the body. VHL occurs in every ethnic group worldwide. At this time, there's no cure, but research is helping those afflicted and their families learn how to manage their disease. When a family member has a tumor, it affects everyone in the family. VHL Alliance works to improve diagnosis, treatment, and the quality of life. Finding tumors early, getting the best treatment, and sharing information with others to help them cope is what VHL Alliance is all about. They're available to help lessen the stress of living with this lifetime chronic disease. Support the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance at VHL.org. That's Very Happy Life, VHL.org. 1-800-767-4-VHL.
Welcome, and welcome to Brett Salisbury. Hi, Brett.
Hi, how are you?
Good
to be on your show, Joyce. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Yeah, Brett's written a very interesting book about a new diet that he calls the Transform Diet. And Brett, can you tell us a little bit about what made you decide to go into sports nutrition?
Yes, I can. Basically, you know, my whole life, I've been interested in it. When I was about 16 years old, I found myself, my brother was a quarterback at USC, and I found myself showing up to his football games and going after, and people were looking at me going, hey, we hear you're pretty good with nutrition. And here I am, the 16-year-old kid giving advice to college kids on what to eat, how to eat, how often to eat, what kind of proteins, fats, carbohydrates. And it just kind of was my calling in life, and I have always loved it. I mean, even when I was 12, I was reading books about it. So I ended up becoming a professional football player after college. I played quarterback and then fell into modeling, which, of course, you have to look good and you have to be lean. And I learned a lot of diet tricks of the trade from a lot of those guys. I studied with some of the top nutritionists in the world, and I just kept reading and reading and was just fascinated with it. And basically became a certified sports nutritionist myself, and you know, I know this is where I need to be, and there's a lot of little stories in between there, but I've never been happier, so I'm doing
That's great. Yeah, and nutrition is not just about eating, of course. It is about maintaining your body for the function of your body, as you do with football, and also for good looks, as you do with modeling. So that really sort of sums it up very nicely, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too. Let me say this. People think that it's, you know, they say it all gets down to calories. And there is a little bit of truth to that, but the problem is that let's say you eat two meals a day, okay, and you're eating 1,200 calories. You think, well, I'm only eating this many calories, I'm going to burn. You know, you can kind of do it almost on paper. Well, what happens is, if you don't eat every 3 hours, your body will go into starvation mode. So even though you're getting those 1,200 calories, if you wait till the fourth hour, your body will start to get scared, and it'll start to, you know, think it's in famine and start to preserve itself and reserve energy because it doesn't know when it's going to get its next meal. Even though you're getting less calories, you're still not feeding it properly, and the metabolism shuts down, and when that happens, you start to store body fat. So when you're on a restricted caloric diet, you're not necessarily doing yourself any favor. You need to eat every 3 hours, five times a day, and don't eat 3 hours before bed. That's kind of the basis of what this is, and there's some real technical things you need to do because the body's very smart.
Right.
You know, it's very similar to a car engine. I mean, if you put water in the gas tank, car's not going to run. And there's just so many factors in. We can get into that of what you need to do properly. You need to, when you wake up, you need to eat within the first 30 minutes after waking up, because again, you've been in starvation mode all night as you've been asleep. So the first thing you want to do when you wake up is within the first 30 minutes is eat, unless you're going to go do a workout plan, which is another whole story, which we can save for another time. But that's kind of the basis of that.
Let me ask you a little bit about exercise and health, because I've read some studies that show that moderate exercise, of course, is good for everyone and does enhance the immune system.
Right.
But excessive exercise actually can diminish the immune system. Like people who go on a marathon run, for example, tend to catch a cold in the next week.
Well, you're breaking down your body. I mean, can you imagine imagine a triathlete. You're out there 7 or 8 hours, and you're constantly, you're running a marathon, you're riding 60 miles, you're swimming 2 miles. To heal, you're going to need some time, and you're going to need to be able to replenish yourself constantly with the right carbs, fats, and proteins, but it's very difficult to do, and that's an extreme. But if you're in moderation, you work out, and this, you know, again, let me back up and say this. 80% of what we look like is what we eat. So people put so much emphasis on the workout plan, they don't really realize that it's the diet that actually shapes the body, and it's actually the workout that sculpts the body. So, you know, you'll see somebody on a treadmill, and how many times have we walked into a gym and seen a woman or a man, and they're on the treadmill, they've been there a month, you go back and you see them month after month, and they look the same. And the reason is, when they get off the treadmill, what do? They go home and they eat a Big Mac, and no offense to McDonald's, but they go home and they eat, you know, anything in sight, ice cream, cake, pizza, and they think because they went to the gym, they're going to be okay. If they flip that philosophy and said, hey, I'm going to spend less time in the gym, and I'm going to worry more about what I'm putting in my body every 3 hours, and they spend a lot of less time in the gym, their body would actually shape and harden depending on the types of foods that I recommend in my book. There are foods, such as flaxseed, that remove free-floating estrogens from the body. And there's a lot of people that don't know that. And I don't want to get too technical.
What's the purpose of removing free-floating estrogens?
The reason is the more estrogen you have in your body, male or female, the softer your body is. So, for instance, if you're trying to get rid of those love handles, or you have a stomach and you're trying to see, you know, abs, if your body's full of estrogens, even a lot of men have a lot of free-floating estrogens, and they don't know that. And the older we get, the more estrogen we have. Something like flaxseed in your diet every morning actually balances the estrogens and removes them from the body, and actually brings your testosterone ratio to the correct amount in a natural way. You're not adding supplements. I don't recommend any supplements except taking a multivitamin. So you're not stuck in the, you know, at the vitamin store trying to buy this vitamin and that vitamin. You're getting your vitamins and minerals through foods, and you're taking one multivitamin just to be safe, but you're not stuck in the supplement world. And but you really want to remove those estrogens from the body that are free-floating, that cause cancers. And we could go into study after study that I have in my book, and I make it very simple, but you want to remove the estrogens to harden the body for both male and female, and that's the key.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier some tips on when we should eat. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. You know, when you wake up, like I said, within the first 30 minutes, you've been in starvation mode. You need to eat a meal that's going to be balanced with protein, carbohydrates, and fats. And let me give you an example. Some people wake up, they'll have a banana. Okay, a banana, everybody thinks the banana is great, or an apple or whatever. A piece of fruit is has a lot of fructose in it. A banana, let's stick with the banana.
And
a banana
fructose is a sugar.
Yeah, banana
so it's a carbohydrate.
Here's some things to it, though. A banana has 39 grams of carbs, which a woman shouldn't get more than 25 in one meal in breakfast, and a male about 50. But a banana will have 39 grams of carbs, a typical banana. It'll also have about 12 grams of fructose, which is fruit sugar. And your body doesn't know the difference between sucrose, which is table sugar, or fructose. So you should never really get more than 5 grams of sugar, especially for a type 2 diabetes person or someone, you know, if you're just watching, you want to watch your body fat. You want to cut that down. So get rid of the fruit. And people say, oh, come on, you're telling me you can't eat fruit. I'm not telling you not to eat fruit. I'm telling you if you're going to eat fruit, cut the banana in half and let's worry about some other foods. But I wouldn't start my breakfast with banana. What I would do is start it with a whey protein powder. And there's some out there now in the last 3 years that are absolutely fantastic. Absolutely incredible tasting. Back in the 80s and 90s, we were tasting like soy protein powders that just, we all wanted to gag, you know, after 2 or 3 days of that stuff. There is a powder out right now, and I'm going to have my own powder, called Muscle Milk. And women, don't be offended by that name, because you think it's for big, bulky, you know, muscle-building guys. The truth is, one scoop has the perfect ratio of proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. So, for example, you should never eat a carbohydrate by itself. Let's say you ate white rice for breakfast, okay? That white rice, if you just ate it by itself, you would enter your bloodstream too fast and it would actually spike your insulin. And again, I don't want to get too technical, but what happened is you get a spike in insulin, your metabolism would shut down, you'd store body fat. By simply adding fat to that white rice and adding protein and maybe some fiber, what'll happen is you'll slow the absorption rate down. You'll lower the glycemic index of that food, and all of a sudden, instead of white rice being a bad thing, you've turned it into something that's now a good thing because you've added fats and proteins. So if you play tricks with foods, don't eat carbs by themselves. Don't eat white rice by itself. Don't eat a piece of fruit by itself. Don't eat, you know, you want to have a balance of proteins, carbs, and fats, and I cover that in a, my book's only 117 pages. I don't beat around the book. I mean, around the bush. I get right to the point.
Right.
And I make it very simple for the reader to understand, and I put it in layman's terms.
So carbohydrates by themselves are not a good thing, but balanced with a little bit of fat and a little bit
Correct.
Of protein, that would be good. So
exactly.
A plain
and
piece
not,
of bread is not such a great idea,
no.
But bread with a little peanut butter would
well,
be
wouldn't
better.
I wouldn't, you know, and I hate to say this, and people want to roll their eyes going, come on, don't tell me I can't eat bread. I'm going to tell you right now, bread contains gluten. And gluten, whether you like it or not, is going to retain water, and you're going to have what's called false fat. So you start eating bread in the morning, you say, hey, I'm only eating this many calories, I'm having a couple slices of bread, can't be that big of a deal. What will happen is the gluten will retain water, you're going to slow your metabolism down, you're going to spike your insulin, and in a week you're going to go, I don't believe I'm gaining weight. What is going on? It's because of the gluten that's found in the wheat that's found in the bread. I would stay away from breads. Breads are a real killer. I'm not saying you have to do that for life. In fact, I get into this where you eat a cheat meal. You're forced to eat a cheat meal after the fourth week to raise your leptin level. We can get into that later also. But basically, I cover exactly what you need to do. I've read every diet book out there, from the South Beach diet to the Abs diet to the Atkins diet. They all have great information. But most of them, and again, no offense to any of them, because there's some great information, they're just too generic. Show me a book that tells me how many grams of fat I can eat every 3 hours. There isn't one until my book came out. Show me a book right now that tells me how much protein, because there's been a 30-year controversy, how much protein can the human body absorb every 3 hours without storing fat or even going the other way where you're not getting enough protein. And they actually, two different doctors who were world-renowned, both came up with that same amount. And I am actually the first, I'm finding this out, to actually put it in the book, what the exact amount of protein. And, again, people ask the question, well, I don't want to sit there and have to count how many grams, how am I going to do this? It's going to take 2 or 3 days. You can go into a restaurant. You're going to be able to look at a plated dish, and you're going to be able to say, okay, I can take this much rice. I know I can have this much chicken or fish or maybe a I don't recommend red meat, but maybe once or twice a week if you're going to do it. And then you have a salad. And basically what you're getting is you're getting a balance of carbs, proteins, and fats. You're doing it in a portion size, and you're not going to be hungry because in 3 hours you're eating again. So it's,
right.
Again, it's about balancing with portions.
Now, one of the dirty words in the diet field is fat, and a lot of people think,
right,
that you need to eat no fat in order to be healthy, but in,
yeah,
fact, your body needs a certain amount of fat.
Tell
for
what,
lubrication,
it's the biggest,
right?
When I was growing up, I said I was on a diet plan. If you remember the old American Heart Association, it was a high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet. Well, what's happening was everybody was getting fatter. We knew that in the 80s and even 90s. And what's happening is, there's certain fats that aren't good. If you get a high amount of saturated fat is like oil and water. It doesn't mix, and you're going to have a problem. You get into something like a monounsaturated fat or a polyunsaturated fat or a medium.
Well, give us an example, because I think most of us don't know what that
flax
means.
Well, flaxseed is a perfect example of a mix of monounsaturated fat and polyunsaturated fat. Almonds, another monounsaturated fat. Olive oil, a perfect, probably, I rank the top five fats that you can eat. And again, here's something that people don't understand. When you're eating, let's say you're eating a meal, you're eating, and again, let's bring up white rice and chicken meal. If you ate that white rice with about 6 grams of olive oil, and maybe some salt and pepper to taste, not a lot, with that chicken, mixed it all together, you would have the perfect ratio of fats, proteins, and carbs, depending on how many carbs you had in that rice. And I tell that in the book. You want about a half a fistful. It would give you about 25 grams for a woman and about 40 to 50 grams for a male, which is a little bit more. But the point is, again, by not exceeding 18 grams, the key is don't go less than 6 grams of fat, because that slows the absorption rate of,
right,
that carbohydrate.
And well, now, don't forget, we're on the radio, and most people don't think grams in the United States. So can you give us something like is it like a pack of cards, or about how much are we talking about?
About you, when I say a gram, are you saying, well, what does that look like?
Yeah, what is it in real terms here, so that we can
okay,
be with
I'll,
you
well,
in the
I'll
conversation?
Just, I'll put it in the form of rice. 25
okay.
grams of white rice would be, take your fist and cut it in half.
Okay.
Just look at your, make a fist and then cut it in half. That's about 25 grams. It may be, maybe 20, actually. You
okay.
know, and you,
so
you
about
need
a
to
half
do,
a cup of cooked rice.
Maybe, yeah. And there's certain rice, like wild rice and jasmine rice, that are even going to be more carbs. You got to make sure it's the white kind of rice. If anything, I would recommend brown rice because it's high in fiber, and fiber also is another way to slow the absorption rate of a carbohydrate.
Okay.
And again, people, I don't want to get them confused. They just need to know the philosophy is mix and take all three fats. You don't want to exceed 18, you don't want to eat less than 6, because what that's going to do, again, is slow that absorption rate. You're not going to get a spike in insulin. You're going to speed your metabolism. If you eat that starch
okay,
carb by
so,
itself.
So let me back up. So we
yeah.
need about a half a cup of cooked rice, or the equivalent in the way of a complex carb, is what I'm hearing you say. Not
yeah,
the refined stuff, not the cookies, not the breads.
Correct.
But potato or rice.
Right.
Is that
and,
right?
You can, and here's the key. People have always heard, well, I've always heard potatoes are bad. Don't get off the potatoes. Get off the rice. The key here, too, is
quantity.
I talk about this. Your first three meals can contain starch carbs, and I give the amount. A woman should never exceed 125 grams of carbs in a day, and
yeah.
she should never eat less than 50 grams of carbs. But after her third meal, her fourth and fifth meal, so she's not, you know, because basically when you eat a starch carb, it turns to sugar very quickly unless you slow that absorption rate down with fat or fiber or protein.
Yeah.
So meals 4 and 5, you really are switching from starch carbs to fibrous carbs. And a fibrous carb is broccoli, spinach, most vegetables, you know, you're getting away from the starchy foods and you're getting to fibrous foods like vegetables. And
well, now, wait a minute. I'm getting confused here because, okay, we were talking about carbohydrates, and I understand rice and potatoes and things like
those
that
those are starch carbohydrates.
Are starch carbohydrates. Okay,
right.
And then vegetables have varying amounts of sugars and starches in them.
Much less than they're called
much
fiber.
Less, that's right. And so most vegetables you can eat fairly freely, right?
Well, exactly.
Tomatoes and leafy things.
Exactly.
You can pretty much eat as much as you want, right?
You're exactly right. An example of that
but
would be...
But some of them have a little bit more sugar in them, like peas.
Right.
I would not have thought that broccoli was so heavy in carbohydrates.
It's not. It's a very good... In fact, spinach and broccoli are as good as you're going to get. Let me put this in perspective. An entire bag of spinach has 12 grams of carbohydrates, okay? And one banana has 39 grams, and there's also going to be fructose, which is the fruit sugar that's in that banana, which you're not going to get in the spinach. You're not going to have any fructose. There's no sugar in there. So
right.
It's a complete, that's why they call it a fibrous carb. So, and again, my book breaks it down. I even have in chapter 8 exactly what to eat. You know, meal 1, here's what you do. Yeah, you can vary off from it, but if you do, you want to keep this thing simple. And people say, "Well, I want variety." Fine. You can, how many meal plans do you think you could make with rice and potatoes with some chicken and it's limitless. I mean, you could literally have a cookbook. You just have to come up with your own game plan. What I
right.
do though is I put three. I like to eat 3 protein shakes, and I use the company right now I'm using is Muscle Milk. And again, I said this earlier, but women don't be turned off by that term. They use that term because they just wanted to apply to the masses. But 1 scoop of Muscle Milk has 16 grams of carbs, 8 grams of protein, and is actually the perfect ratio of fats because it contains these medium-chain triglycerides, which are designer fats, which don't store in the body as fat. So if you had a scoop of that, with a tablespoon of flaxseed, with a quarter cup of raw oats, like oatmeal, and you put that in a blender with some ice cubes, and you blended it, the taste, I'm telling you, it's the best tasting, it's like a smoothie from Smoothie King. I mean, it's that good. And you're getting oats, which is oatmeal, raw.
Right.
You're getting flaxseed, which has, well, 2 tablespoons of flaxseed, the lignans that are in it, is equivalent to 30 cups of raw broccoli.
Now, you've talked about bananas, which are high in carbohydrates, but there are plenty of other fruits that are lower in carbohydrates
right.
and are much better for you, like berries, for example.
Sure. No, they are. But I still wouldn't eat fruit after lunch because there's still fructose in them. It depends on your body type, and I get into this about Stanford University came out with a study of how basically the human body, 75% of us have a spike in insulin when we eat carbohydrates, and the other 25% of us don't. So for 75% of the listening audience and for most people, when we eat anything, we're going to get a spike in insulin, we're going to shut the metabolism down, we're going to store body fat. But there's always that person
out
there.
So insulin is what tells our bodies to store fat?
Yeah, well, what happens is if you get a spike in insulin, what that does is it basically takes a carbohydrate and turns it immediately almost into sugar. You do not want a spike in your insulin. Insulin is probably the most powerful hormone in your body. And you want to prevent the spike from happening. How you prevent it is, again, you add
So what does the spike do?
Pardon me?
What does the spike do when you have a spike in your body?
When you have a spike in insulin, it shuts the metabolism down. And it starts to store sugar very quickly. Because basically starch carbohydrates turn to sugar very fast.
Okay,
unless.
So let's make sure that everybody is on the same page.
Yeah.
So metabolism is the process by which your body is burning calories. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's correct. It's like your engine in your car. It's basically the engine in your car, and you want to turn that engine in. Most of us are in a V4, V6 engine, if we can put that in terms of a car. We want to get our engine to a V12. We want to turn that thing into a Ferrari. We want to get the gas pedal down so even if we, as this time goes, our metabolism gets faster and faster. Hey, let's say we want to eat a cookie. Fine. It's not going to even harm us because we're at the V12 level. We're at where our metabolism.
But that's only after we get to the V12 level,
yeah,
right? So right now, we The metabolism is when we burn the calories, and we're burning
right.
two kinds of calories. One is what we just ate, and
correct.
The other one is what we've stored. And if we want to lose weight, we have to burn some of that stored fat, right?
We have to burn some of that stored. Yeah, well, there's a whole thing to that. I mean, basically, when you eat carbohydrates, they store two places. It is glycogen in the liver and the muscle. And they actually, and I talk about this in the book, when you get to about 200 grams on a meal, they actually spill over unless you burn it off to fat. So I would recommend you got to stay within about 200 grams or less of carbohydrates, and it's the right kind of carbs. You know, if even though it says, oh, it's oatmeal or it's strawberries, oh, I'm eating, I can eat those all day long, that's not true. You still have to monitor the carbohydrates you're eating, and again, you wouldn't want to eat a starch carb after lunch. You'd go into the fibrous carb. And again, I know we're jumping around a little bit, but
yeah.
Your first three meals, you're going to go with starch carbs. That's going to give you plenty of energy for the day. That's oatmeal, that's rice, that's potatoes, that type of thing up to lunch. After lunch, now you're still going to have a protein, like maybe a piece of chicken, or maybe you're going to have a protein shake, but you're going to cut the starch carb out. You know, you're going to get rid of the oatmeal. You're going to get rid of the fruit. You're going to get rid of, and I'm telling you, by the time you go to bed, you're not burning. You're not trying to burn a starch carb that's that sugar. You're going to bed, and you're supposed to go, basically 3 hours before bed, you're not supposed to eat. Now you're going to bed on kind of an empty stomach, you're not hungry, and you're waking up and you're starting to see results. The key is you just eat, like I said, five meals every 3 hours, and I know some people are going, well, I'm on the road, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's why these protein powders are so easy. You put them in a little bottle, they have these shaker with a little metal bottle or a little metal ball in them, you shake them, you put some water in them, and they don't taste like they did 3 years ago, I'm telling you. Muscle milk chocolate flavor is going to taste like a combination of brownie mix, and you're going to say that it feels like you're cheating. But when you break down what it has, there's hardly any sugar in it. It's got the medium-chain triglycerides, which are designer fats, which don't store in the body as fat, and you're getting every nutrient that the body needs. You're getting every vitamin, every mineral, and you're getting the perfect ratio of protein, fats, and carbohydrates. So it's a tough thing to beat. I mean, sometimes my ex-wife, my son, who's 10 years old, said, Dad, I could never eat a protein shake. I've had those other ones. He can't get enough of these things. I mean, that's how good they are to him. So you know, if your 10-year-old son would rather eat a protein shake than have a glass of Nestle Quick with milk, they're doing something right over there. So I have a powder that's coming out that we don't need to talk about now that's basically formulating after Muscle Milk that's even going to be better, and I have vanilla and all these different flavors, and even for the Starbucks crowd, I'm going after them. Everybody wants taste, because I'm telling you, 2 weeks on a diet, nobody wants to diet. I sure in the heck don't. You know, you start getting into these foods, and you're like, oh, do I have to eat that again? There are so many varieties. It's just, if you eat smart and you understand timing, and you understand ratios, I don't care if you have type. My brother Kurt's a great example. He had type 2 diabetes, very hardcore. He weighed 295 pounds. He's now down to about 248, and he's losing every day. His type 2 diabetes, the doctor says, I can't believe what I'm seeing. His triglycerides are below 150. He's just having amazing results on this program, and he's loving every meal, and he's never hungry. Now,
okay,
you know,
I think, why don't we take a break here, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk some more with Brett and about the water that we need to drink.
Correct.
This is Keith Richards, a.k.a. Just Saying. Is there cancer in your family? There is in mine. But it doesn't have to be bad. We can take action to protect ourselves. I've learned how to get screened and manage my health so that I'll live a long, healthy life. How about you? Visit www.powerfulpatient.org. Again, that's www.powerfulpatient.org. Peace.
Hi, we're back with Brett. Brett, I wanted to ask you something about water, and you mentioned that Dr. Stanley Goldfarb had some very interesting things to say about water.
Correct.
So
you know,
tell me what you recommend.
He basically came out April 3rd of 2008, and he dropped a bombshell on everybody. It was on the evening news, and he said, drinking 8 glasses of water a day is a myth. He's a nephrologist from the University of Pennsylvania. No offense to him. He's a very smart and intelligent man. But then I started, I've done so much research on water. There's been 40-year studies of water, and he had a lot of claims, and I said, I'm going to go after that. And again, I do it in a nice way, but basically I really, really go after him. And not only is it the type of water, but I found study after study. For example, if you were just to drink a gallon of water.
So wait a minute, I didn't quite understand. So what is it that you recommend?
I recommend drinking a gallon of water a day.
A gallon of water a day?
Yes. Well, actually, I don't recommend it. The Institute of Medicine says for a man, he should drink 3.78 liters of water, which is about a gallon, and for a woman, about 92 ounces. So it's not my recommendation. It's the recommendation from the Mayo Clinic and the Institute of Medicine.
I can't imagine drinking that much water.
Well, you know, for a woman, it's about a half a gallon. For a man, it's a gallon. And this isn't every day. I mean, we're talking about, if you want to see results in the first 12 weeks, which my book is about, the Transform Diet, if you want to really see results, you got to drink the water. Now, as time goes
on... Six or eight glasses of water a day is about 2 quarts, which is already... That would be a half a gallon for a woman.
Which is going to be
you're saying that men need to drink 16 glasses of water a day.
Well, it depends on... Yeah, I mean, they're going to be drinking... For a woman, you're going to need about 90 ounces, which is about 8 glasses of water
a
day.
So what does the water do in the body?
Oh, gosh. The water, you know, for instance...
First of all, we're made up primarily of water, right?
Yes, we are.
And our brains in particular are made up of considerable amount of water.
Correct. And a woman's body is made up between 55 to 60%. A male is made up about 65 to 70% of water. And that's to do with the type of how much muscle we have in our body. Typically, a man has more muscle than a woman, and that's why there's more water in a male.
Right, so there's a basic hydration that needs to occur, but then it also helps to mobilize the nutrients in our bodies and also the waste products in our bodies and move it around and move it in and out of the cell.
Correct. And what happens with distilled water, his studies were done with just tap water.
Meaning Dr. Goldfarb.
Dr. Goldfarb. I started to study distilled water and what happens, and I'm telling you, everybody, like I said, from Stanford University to the UCLA Medical Center to, you know, the United States Department of Agriculture to the top doctors, institutions in the world, I start to get even my eyes open and go, wow, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. The U.S. Department of Health, for example, says all kidney machines operated on distilled water. Okay, so we start to look at that, and I'm like, what is really the truth about distilled water? What distilled water does, and it's the only water of its type, it pushes waste out of the body. Reverse osmosis water, all these other waters, they're not pure. There's an impurity, and the impurities will cause a film in the cell, and it won't get oxidized. So you can't really remove waste from the body. What distilled water will do is it'll actually go in, often frees the imprisoned cell and allows oxygen to reach other cells. So basically, distilled water removes waste. I mean, without getting, you can read quote after quote that I have on my distilled water chapter. And again, this isn't my opinion. You're going to see that when you're done with the water chapter, it's going to wake.
But where do you even find distilled water? Because we got an awful lot of waters on the market right now, but none of them are distilled.
Well, no, they actually are. If you go in any grocery store, Vons, I don't know what part of the country you're in, but if you go in any typical grocery store, if you go in the water section, maybe where there's the sodas, there's water, you know, wherever the water is, they have 5-gallon jugs of water that is distilled. You can get distilled, you can get just the different types. There's distilled right there. There also is, if you call like Arrowhead or any of your local, delivery service bottled water companies, you can get, we have right now Arrowhead delivering to our house these 5-gallon jugs. I don't have to carry. Water can get very heavy and it's tiresome. The water is delivered to your home. You pick it up, you put it on your water container, and all of a sudden you have distilled water in your house. And you don't have to worry about going to the store.
This is not the normal state of man. I mean, in most parts of the world, we're struggling to get clean water to people. So why is it that you're saying that the body operates the best on distilled water?
Because that's just the way the human nature is. Our distilled water, when 400 years ago when we drank water, it was pure, 100% distilled.
No.
It didn't have any impurities.
That's not true.
Oh, it is. It is. It was about 400 to 500 years ago. When rain would fall, there was no industrial, maybe it was 450 years ago.
Right. It certainly had a lot less impurities, but it had not gone through a distillation process.
Rain would fall and snow would fall, and there was no impurities because of the industrial world that's taken over. And it's actually proven.
Except for volcanic ash and other natural impurities.
And even our industrial world, of which we've created all these different plants and things that we're making and doing, we no longer have pure rainfall. When rain falls, it's not pure. It used
right,
to be pure.
Agreed.
So now what's happening is rain, when it falls, it's not pure. We have to go in and the only way you're going to get pure water is to distill it. So we can talk all day until we're blue in the face about reverse osmosis. We can talk about, hard water, soft water, water softeners. They're all basically tap water. They're filtered tap water, which is garbage. They're not going to remove waste from the body. They're
right.
not going to remove. I mean, Dr. Brown.
Wait a minute. I mean, what do you mean they're not going to remove waste from the body?
Let me read you a quote from Dr. Bran Landone, who's a neurologist. He said, hard water seals any water. He said, basically, any water seals each cell with a film, so oxygen cannot reach the imprisoned cells. Nature then develops new cells, which thrive on less oxygen. These cells are called cancer cells. Distilled water often frees the imprisoned cells and allows the oxygen to reach those cells. Okay, so basically, distilled water has an inherent quality that no other water has. It acts like a magnet and basically picks up rejected, discarded, unusable minerals and allows for, the lymphs to carry blood to the kidneys and eliminates waste from the body. There's no other water to do that. Like I said, this isn't my opinion. From Dr. James Blog to the U.S. Army to the United States Department of Agriculture to...
The U.S. Army does not supply distilled water to all the people in the Army, and certainly not a gallon a day per man.
Well, no, that's exactly what... Here's a funny quote. In the United States Department of Agriculture says this. It says, there is nothing about distilled water that would make it harmful for the body. It may be helpful to remember that distilled water is the only water available for crews on naval vessels at sea. The only proven method of correcting cooking and distilled waste pollution in the home is often through a home distiller. So basically, our naval crews, all they're getting is distilled water. And that's
not the guys in Iraq.
That's the direct quote from the United States Department of Agriculture. And again, I could go on and on and on. It's just it's unbelievable what we have as far
well,
as distilled water.
Distilled or not, we need water, that's for sure. And so we do need a minimum of 8 glasses of water, and as you say, preferably distilled. But a lot of people in this country don't drink water at all. I have a number of friends that, complain about having their bowels congested or one thing and another, and I say, number one, drink enough water. And they say, oh, I hate water. I don't like the taste of it. So, I mean, just getting people to drink water at all is a major issue. And distilled water has less taste per taste than
But no, you know,
than
it really doesn't
water.
Have less taste. It has a perfect taste, but we're so used to the other stuff that we've been given, we don't understand that distilled water is the only water that's pure, and we should have never added all this other stuff. Distilled water is the only pure water there is. Let me tell you what the Center for Disease Control says right now. It says 35% of, this is a correct quote from Center of Disease Control right now in 2009, 35% of reported gastrointestinal illnesses among tap water drinkers were water-related and preventable. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes on. Dr. Ron Kennedy, as to carbon-filtered or reverse osmosis water, there are better solutions than tap water or mineral water. However, they still fall short of the standards set by distilled water. And again, we can go on and on and on. And,
okay.
And, till we're blue in the face. But
so the best choice would be distilled water and half a gallon per day per woman and 1 gallon a day for a
92
man.
92 ounces for a woman, exactly, and this is again from the Institute of Medicine. They say 3.7 liters, which is 1 gallon for a male.
Right.
Are you
going to
do that every day? No. But if you did live it, you would start to see your – here's what would happen. You'd start to remove unwanted sodium from the body. You would actually harden the skin. And this is for people who are a little bit more trying to look good, you know, in the mirror with their clothes off. Okay, so basically your skin would tighten. Your body would see a push of waste. You would actually lose a lot of body fat just by drinking water. And there was a study in Germany that you burn an extra 17,000 calories a year by drinking a gallon of water, which is, that's 5 to 8 pounds, depending on the human, you know, or the person we're talking about. So just by drinking water, you burn more calories because your body has to metabolize it and it speeds the metabolism.
Right. But certainly any water is better than Coca-Cola.
Any water is better than no water. But if you're going to drink water, why drink tap water? Because it's filled with chlorines and all kinds of garbage. You might as well drink something that's finally going to remove the waste from the body, get your skin tight, remove acne, remove free-floating, you know, whatever you got in your body, waste, and basically make you a lot healthier. It's just night and day. And again, when you read the studies that have been done, and I put the quotes in my book, you're not waiting for a bibliography at the end of the book, you will be shocked at what you read. Now, occasionally, if you go online, you read some, there's going to be some doctors going to say, well, distilled water, you know, you're going to leach minerals. That's basically some guy trying to make some money for a bottled water company that's trying to make a buck, and he's trying to help them out. But the truth is, there is nothing like distilled water. And here's the bottom line. When the UCLA Medical Center, Stanford University, even University of Pennsylvania, to the Institute of Medicine, to the Mayo Clinic, all recommend, Dr. Charles Mayo says, the only water you should drink is distilled. I'm sorry, Mayo Clinic is the leading institution in the world. I have to believe him. And the studies they've done, you can't deny them.
Okay, but certainly if we could get people to reduce or eliminate the amount of soda pop that they drink and substitute that with the best water accessible, certainly if you're traveling, you may not be able to find distilled water in the cooler at the airport, but you can certainly get something that's better than soda pop. Let me ask you about the afterburn that you wanted to talk about.
Right.
And what it takes to create the afterburn.
Okay, for working out, basically, you know, there's a lot to that. But basically what you're going to do is when you work out, people think that the treadmill or doing a lot of cardio is going to get yourself what's called the afterburn. And the afterburn is basically burning calories even after your workout. That's why they call it the afterburn. Okay, and the afterburn, depending on how aggressive you go at weight training, and I'm talking about for a woman lightweight, high rep to failure, she can burn calories or he can burn calories for up to 2 days after their workout. Now, these studies have been done, and again, I quote every top doctor and institution that I can to prove that the afterburn is absolutely the way to go. In fact, when you're working out, if you have a choice between the treadmill and going over and doing maybe shoulder press, real lightweight to failure. And when I say to failure, it means you're doing the rep and you're going and you're going and you're going. You can't get that last rep. And maybe you're at 40 reps. You rest no more than 30 seconds and then you do another set. That's going to be the key to getting you into the afterburn, which is, again, burning calories for up to 2 days. So that's your focus should be on weight training, lightweight, high rep, as a female, because we're not trying to build size here, and it's really
so even a 1 pound weight is good, and
yeah,
a 1 pound weight is like
too,
a can of something or other, right?
That might be too light because if you're going to get above 50 reps, you need to add a little bit of weight. You really want to stay as a woman between no less than 25 and no more than 50, so maybe 5 to 10
repetitions,
pounds.
Repetitions, is what you mean when you say reps, right?
When I say reps, repetitions, and then again, here's another key. Don't rest more than 30 seconds. And again, I covered it in the book. So let's say you get done with that set after all those reps. You did, you know, you're on 25, 26, 27. You're really trying to struggle with it. You get to 28, 29, you're getting to 30, you barely got it. You get done, you put the weight down, you do not rest more than 30 seconds. You again pick up that same weight, and you get back up and you do as many as you can. You may not get to 30, but now that's what starts to tap into the afterburn, or what's called EPOC. That's the exact, or the technical term, which is excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, which basically, again, is the afterburn of burning calories for up to 2 days. So again, not to get too technical, but if you have a, if you're standing there and you're a woman or a man and you're standing there and you're looking at the treadmill and you're looking at weight training, the treadmill is only going to burn carbohydrates and glucose and glycogen that you stored that day. So for instance, if I eat a meal right now, and I went and I got on the treadmill, I would burn that meal that I just ate off, unless I only did it for like 5 or 7 minutes. But if I went in to do weight training to failure and I got into this afterburn, not only would I burn the calories and the carbohydrates from that meal, but as I went home and I'm watching TV and I have the remote in my hand, I'm still burning calories for up to 2 days. That's a whole new ball game. That's now where we're getting into something very serious, and now you see a transformation physically and internally, you know, externally and internally. So I guess I got so tired of books coming out that talk about the internal, okay, how folic acid and vitamin C are great. How many books are we going to read that tell us that? We've read 1,000 of them. I want a book to come out, and that's why I wrote this. I want a book to tell me what's going to bring my triglycerides down, what's going to bring to where I am going to feel it and I'm going to be absolutely internally healthy, and I'm going to have an external change physically where I look in the mirror and look absolutely amazing. This book was written to do both.
Okay, let's take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk some more with Brett. And if you have any questions, by all means, call in. The number to call is 347-237-4358, or you can put your question to the chat line.
Hi, I'm Joyce Graff, the host of The Powerful Patient. For some 40 years, I've worked with people with von Hippel-Lindau disease, a tiny misspelling in one gene, the VHL gene, that causes tumors in 6 different areas of the body. Why these areas? What do they have in common? Interestingly, as we study VHL, we're learning about what causes cancer for everyone. The VHL gene is on the main superhighway for tumor development in many cancers. The answer we need for VHL is part of the answer we need for all. Won't you help us find a cure for cancer? People with VHL are donating their tissue and their blood to move this forward. Won't you please donate some money to help? Please give at VHL.org. We want to make VHL stand for Very Happy Life. That's VHL.org. Thank you.
Don't do it now. Hi, we're back. And Brett, I wanted to follow up on something you said earlier about gluten. Can you tell us a little bit about gluten, please?
Gluten is a fat that's found basically in wheat products, barley, and the one exception to that rule is oats. Oats, unless they're cross-contaminated in a room where they're made with other wheat products. Like people, when, for instance, eat oatmeal, and they're going to say, well, it's not necessarily gluten-free. That's not true. Okay, the oat is a special, it's cut so that it basically, when it's metabolized, there is no gluten in the oat. It's gluten-free, which means you're not getting that fat, and you're not going to absorb fat, and you're not going to retain fat, and there is no fat in it because it is gluten-free. But the thing of it is, the oat is a special food to eat every day, and it should be a daily staple in your morning. And
right. It seems
gluten,
like more and more people are having problems metabolizing gluten as well as sugars. Diabetes is definitely on the rise, but also I never even heard of celiac disease until recently, and now it seems like I know a tremendous number of people with celiac disease. Is it just that we've learned how to analyze this, or is there something in our diets that's provoking
this? I just think our diets have become such garbage that our intestine doesn't know how to. We eat so much bread, we put so much stress and put so much gluten in our body, it's actually breaking it down. And it just, We have become a fatter nation. We eat fast food, and fast food is full of gluten. And the more gluten you have, the more pressure and problems you're going to have in your small and large intestine, and you're going to have severe problems, and you could eventually end up with celiac disease. So when you go gluten free or go try as much as you can to stay away from gluten, like breads, you're really in cereals, you're going to get away from it. But the oat is a special cut of cereal that does not contain gluten, which is rare.
Right.
So it's an amazing product. That's why your daily staple should be oatmeal.
So reducing or eliminating gluten from the diet is also a good thing for a number of other health reasons.
Absolutely.
Similar to the issues that we have with sugars.
Not only for the internal, but the external. If you're really someone that's trying to look good, gluten will not allow you. You're going to retain water, and you're going to store fat, and you're not ever going to look, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror, and you're going to go, I don't understand. I'm eating just one slice of bread. Why am I holding so much water? Why do I look so fat? Well, you're holding what I call false fat, and I talk about it in the book, where you're going to retain water, and you could hold up to 10 pounds of water throughout all parts of your body and never get the look that you want just because of a slice of bread.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never get there. Now, we can get, one thing I wanted to add about water that was interesting, and I forgot to even mention this. Here's something that you need to understand. According to experts, there's basically, when you drink water, water comes in a five-sided pentagonal form, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From all kinds of water, reverse osmosis, whatever it is. Distilled water is a six-sided hexagonal form. When we were born in a six-sided hexagonal form of water. Now,
so this is, we're talking about the sort of little chemical diagrams that they sometimes
if you break down and you look under a microscope, you're going to see a six-sided hexagonal form of water in distilled. Now, rain and snow are six-sided hexagonal forms, but the problem is they've been contaminated, and then by the time you get them through a filter, they turn into a five-sided pentagonal form. And the five-sided pentagonal form does not remove waste. It takes a six-sided hexagonal form, which is distilled water. That's why it's so pure. So that's something I didn't cover, and that was a 40-year study by some of the top doctors and chemists and biochemists in the world. So I didn't mention that, but that's something that we needed to talk about. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, let me ask you one other thing. You mentioned that your father passed away from one of the cancers, mesothelioma, I think it was. And are there nutritional things that you particularly point to for people to reduce their risk of various kinds of cancers or clear out the toxins that can lead to cancer?
Just what we're talking about. I mean, water is huge. It's just going to lead you to removing waste. It's going to allow oxygen to cells that normally weren't going to get that cell because of the six-sided hexagonal form of a distilled water.
Mm-hmm.
Eating clean foods like chicken and fish and having the omega-3s that are involved in those good fats. If you're eating clean, you're eating every 3 hours, you're drinking the water, you're getting at least 25 grams of fiber, which you would in my diet. You're basically talking about removing colon cancer and all just cancer. Flax, when you read about flaxseed and what it does, it is a miracle food. It is absolutely unbelievable what it does. And again, I mentioned earlier, 2 tablespoons of flaxseed is equivalent to 30 cups of raw broccoli, the lignans that are in that. And lignans are kind of a hormone that remove these estrogens from the body. And estrogens cause breast cancer. Estrogens cause men for other kinds of cancers. So you are what you eat, you look like what you eat. Basically, when you eat clean and you drink in the water you need to drink, you're going to live a healthy life. And you can go stand on a treadmill all day, but I'm telling you, as soon as you get off that treadmill and you go start eating garbage, it's garbage in, garbage out, you're going to look like you feel, you're going to get tired, you're going to get lethargic, and you're just not going to be healthy. And when you take off your shirt, you're not going to look good. So
right.
From the internal point of view to the external point of view, it's hard to beat this program that I have put together in this 117 pages. It's like a guide. It's not even a book. It's a guide to tell you what to do, how to do it. I don't beat around the bush. And when you're done with it, it's not going to be any stone unturned. I mean, you're going to know just what you need to do.
Right. And a lot of models turn to various kinds of drugs and things to curb their appetite. So it's nice to hear a healthy approach to staying model thin.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of, you hear a lot of women's stories that they'll just not eat at all, and there's truth to that. But you have the guys that I worked out with and trained with in Milan, heck, we were eating 5 to 6 meals a day every 3 hours. And we were doing everything we were supposed to do, and we were drinking our gallon of water. And I'll tell you what, every single one of us, because, you know, you're getting paid to do this, so you have to look your best. We just looked absolutely fantastic, and that's kind of what happened. Nobody says you want to go out and be a model if you're, you know, you have a wife and kids and you're 45. No, you don't need to look like a model. But I'll tell you what, on this program, after about 12 weeks, you're going to start to go, wow, I really have never seen my physique look this good. Not only do I feel good internally, but externally, I've never looked better. I'm in, and it's not the scale. People worry about the scale. I gained a pound. You know, this, that, and the other. If you got to remember, if you're working out with weights, you're going to build muscle, and the more muscle you have, it's the more you're going to weigh.
So the scale can even go up. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the scale. I'd worry about how the clothes fit. You know, if you're in a size, you know, 38 waist for a male. In 12 weeks, you should be down to a 34, and you're like, wow, forget the scale. You may even weigh the same weight, but your clothes fit differently, and you're having to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. So I would worry more about how your clothes fit and looking in the mirror than I worry about any scale. I'd throw the scale out the door.
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, you're supposed to eat a small meal every 3 hours, so that your body understands that they can it can depend on being fed, and it doesn't need to store for the famine, and to drink plenty of preferably distilled water,
right,
and to control the amount of carbohydrates and make sure that you're mixing carbohydrates with fats and proteins.
Correct. And not to eat starch carbs after lunch, basically, whatever
no
time that is. People work at night shift.
And
what's
to
that?
Stop eating 3 hours before bedtime.
Correct. Eat within 30 minutes when you wake up. Eat every 3 hours. Don't eat 3 hours before bed. Stick to this plan. Don't eat starch carbs after, you know, your third meal. And I guarantee you're going to have the transformation in your life, both internally and externally.
Sounds great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We do have one question from a mother that came up in our online support group for VHL today. Her 21-year-old son is experiencing very rapid growth of his tumors, and he is a talented athlete, she said.
Uh-huh.
And usually when I hear a story like that, I worry that maybe he's doing too much exercise and not supporting his body the way he needs to support it. Teenagers often don't eat particularly well,
right.
And if he's not eating particularly well and doing excessive exercise, that is a combination that I've seen many times does promote tumor growth. So,
well, you know what it could
can
be,
you
though,
comment
too?
On that?
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I don't think it's necessarily an overdue of workout. I think it could be some of the supplements he's taking. I'd like to find, if he wrote me, you can go to transformdiet.com. If he wrote me and he was honest with me, I bet you I could figure out what he's doing, because it sounds like there's a supplement he's taking that may cause a growth in tumor, because that's not that doesn't sound to me like an over. You can go out and work your tail off all day long. You can go out and work, you know, blue collar work, and you're going to come home exhausted, but you're not going to have tumor growth. It's either genetic or it's some other supplement, and I don't want to mention supplements on, you know, here of what type.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a genetic promoter at work, but but in addition to that, what we've learned is we have to keep our immune systems operating at peak capacity in order to try to minimize the amount
is he getting enough
of
vitamin C?
Influence
is he getting
of the genetic.
Right. Is he getting enough vitamin C? Is he taking everything he needs to do? Is he eating clean? Is he really flushing himself with water? Is he doing the things he needs to do? Those are questions that I could answer if he wrote me and we really talked about it, I could help him.
Great.
But I would also consult his doctor and see what he says, because again, I'm a sports nutritionist, and his doctor would know Would know him better than I would.
But doctors in the United States, at least, don't usually speak nutrition particularly well. So maybe to see a nutritionist who might be able to help him with that.
I agree.
And look at whether he may need to beef up some of his vitamins that may be being exhausted by.
It may be protein deficiency. It may be a lack.
A lot of things.
Flaxseed removes
We're down to 33
growth.
Seconds. So, Brett, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Next week,
we're going to talk about emergency preparedness. I have two people from the town of Brookline who worry about preparing Brookline and all of its citizens for safety in an emergency. And I hope that you'll be with us and learn how you can prepare your own family to coast through the next emergency. So thanks again, and have a great week, and be well, and be a powerful patient.
Joyce, thank you.